going to John chapter 10, but I am going to go to the book of Ruth today. And something's been burning in my spirit. There's two things that are going on within my heart that is resonating. And I know it's the middle of summer and half of our people are on vacation. But I'm glad that you're here. And how many knows that when the word of the Lord comes, it comes when it comes. Amen. And so, and a couple things that I believe about the word. I believe number one is that sometimes what we do is we feel that, well, what we have to have is we have to have the crowd to be able to hear the word. But the word, everybody say this with me, the word is spirit and life. So when we speak the word of God, we're not just speaking any words. What we're speaking is the word of God. And the worlds as we know them was framed by the word of God. How many knows the world was framed by the word of God? How many knows the world was not a great big explosion? Amen. Amen. How many knows you didn't come from a tadpole? How many are just not quite sure yet? Amen. Amen. You still feel like you're evolving. Well, here's the deal. I'm not going to get into a message on evolution today. But what I am going to do is I want you to understand is the word of God is spirit and it's life. And the words that we speak are spirit and life. And the ability to hear the voice of God is paramount in the world that we live in now. And the reason why, the reason why is because there are many voices that are speaking in the land today. How many knows there's a lot of voices speaking in the land today? All you have to do is go on Twitter. All you have to do is go on Facebook. Some people say, you know, well, I'm done with this. I'm done with that. Well, anything, any opportunity I have, I don't let nobody shove me off if God's told me to be there. Amen? So whether it's a church, whether it's my house, whether it's a job, wherever it is, if God has placed me someplace, He's placed me there for a reason and for a purpose and for a divine purpose. I believe that my life is a life of destiny. It's a life of purpose. What I have to realize is that there are many voices in the land. What God wants to be able to do is God wants to be able to train our ability to hear His voice and follow no other. It is important what voice you're following. It's important in the land that we live in whose voice you're following. Whose voice are you listening to? It's imperative because if you're not listening, and it's no different in the context of your children. If your children cannot hear your voice, you cannot keep them from danger. Are you listening to me? See, if your children are running out into traffic and they have not learned, everybody say learn. Because how many knows you have to learn to obey? How many? Oh, Jesus, help me, the Lord. Amen. Come on, help me this morning. I said you have to learn to obey. And you have to learn to obey a voice. And you will obey many voices in the land. But the first voice that should be yours, because we tell our kids all the time, that if we are the very first voice they're going to hear and the very first voice that they're going to obey. If they can't hear our voice, if they can't listen to our voice, then how are they going to be able to hear the voice of God? If they can't obey my voice, if they can't hear my voice, if they can't hear the direction of my voice, if I can't train their spirits to be able to hear, how will they be able to hear the voice of God? Now, don't get caught up into condemnation. I know some of you are sitting there and you're thinking about, you know, all the mistakes that you've made as a mother and as a father. But what you have to understand today is this. Condemnation is not going to get it done. Are you hearing me? What's going to get it done is learning to say, look, wherever I went this way when I should have went that way, I need to come back. And if I have to repent over that, and again, I'm saying to you, your repentance of your heart, if you've made some mistakes, your repentance, God can't restore until there's repentance. Are you hearing me? See, we want to restore. We want to change without our heart being changed. You can't change unless your heart's changed. You can turn over a new leaf. You can buy a whole new wardrobe, get a new house, amen, buy a new car, get a new job, and move to Timbuktu. But if your heart's not changed, you're not going to change. Amen. Get a new hairdo if you got hair. Amen. Change your makeup. Go get a pedigree. Is that what it's called? Is that a pedigree? What is it? Oh, pedicure. Pedicure. Amen. Manicure. What's a pedicure? Feet. Amen. I need one of those. So how many knows you can get a pedicure and a manicure? You can get your hair done, get new makeup, and it'll make you feel good temporarily. But until your heart's changed, you can't change. Turn to somebody and say, until your heart changes, you can't change. Your heart is that ability to be able to hear the voice of God. Amen? See, that's the whole point about being able to hear, because you don't hear with your ears, you hear with your heart. That's why that Paul said to the Ephesians, he said that the eyes of your understanding would be open, so that your heart can be open, so that you can understand. Because if your heart's not open to hear, somebody could be talking to you, and all you hear, and it could be a profound word, but all your heart hear is blah, 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 blah. Are you hearing me? And so God's really been speaking to me about how can we move past, because you can have different opinions and different voices. It's imperative to be able to hear and to know and to distinguish the voices that God has called into your life. Are you hearing me? We are living in a land to where that we recognize, and there are recognizable things that we live in, because who do we live? Do we listen to the voice of politics? Do we listen to the voice of the sociologists? Do we listen to the voice of the psychologists? Do we listen to the voice of the doctors and the lawyers? And do we listen to the voice of who do we listen to? And my whole contention, no matter where we've been, we are where we are. Come on, say it. We are where we are right now in our lives. You can't go back. Listen to me. You can't go back. Are you listening to me, Dorothy? Amen? You can't click your heels and you can't go back to Kansas. I don't know why anybody want to go back to Kansas, but oh, we got Kansas folks here. That's right. Amen? I've been through Kansas. If you like to see wheat fields and few people, Kansas is the place you need to go. Amen? I remember we got in Kansas one time and drove, and I thought, we're never going to get out of Kansas. Ever. Ever. But we did. Beautiful place. Beautiful wheat fields. Beautiful farming country. Thank God for Kansas. But I want you to hear me today. You can't click your heels and go back to where you were. If you spend all your life living in regret, if you spend all your life living in regret, if you spend all your life living in regret, I should have, I could have, I would have. You can't live your life there anymore. The reason why that your life cannot be restored and you can't move past is because you need to train. Look, quit trying to do those things by the natural. Begin to do that which will bring about change. That is developing your heart to be able to hear the voice of God. If you can hear the voice of God, you can move past everything else. Why? Because God can restore your life. If God can restore your life, then what can happen is your life can be better. Look, God can do more in a life that is repentive and restored in a matter of days, in a matter of weeks, in a matter of a short period of time, than you can do in all of your human effort to try to convince people, I'm changing. Amen. See, in that which is imperative, and I am sharing with you today a story. And I just want to read to you just real quick. You can turn with me to John chapter 10. Then we're going to go to the book of Ruth. It's going to take me a while to work through this. There's a lot in me with this message. I'm also preaching a series on salt and light that God has really spoken to my spirit about salt and light. That's what you've seen up on the board just a minute ago. Be these. Be salt and light. That's what God has called us to be. God hasn't called us to be anything else. If we're looking for a destiny, I wonder what I should do with my life. I wonder what I should be doing with my life. What is God's plan? What is God's purpose? Very simple. Jesus said, you are salt and light. Amen? Until you start beaming and shaking. I said, until you start beaming and shaking, you're never going to find. Because it is the light of God within you that takes you to your destiny. And if you don't have salt, you can't flavor your way. You can't flavor the way that God is taking. God wants to bring out the God flavors in this world. You take out the church. You take out the church in this city, and this church and the city becomes nothing. Loaves does not make the city. Amen. I can see some of you are not believing that. Loaves does not make this city. That is not what makes this city. Loaves does not make this city. Neither does Tyson make this city. What makes this city is the church. You take the church out. I said you take the church out, and what you have is that you have nothing. Because the church is what flavors this city. The church is the light. Now look, the light may be dim, and the church may not be shaking out its flavor, but how many knows that God is raising the church back up into a place of prominence in Wilkes County again? Amen. I don't care what the natural tells us. I don't care what the papers tells us. But I want you to know that the drug epidemic and the suicide epidemic, the spousal abuse, the things that are going on in this city, the bigotry, the hatred, the bias that is in this city is about ready to come to a place of minimalization. Why? Because God is raising up the church again in Wilkes County. Amen. 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 Anyways, I'm not preaching that message, so don't try to make me either. So turn with me to John chapter 27. I'll be carrying on that message Wednesday night, that series on salt and light. Everybody say salt and light. Turn to somebody and say, won't you be these? Amen? Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, be these. Be salt and light. But look with me in John chapter 10, because I'm preaching about the voices in our life. Turned to somebody and said, he didn't say the voices in your head. He said the voices in your life. Some of us get that mistaken. The voices in our head, you know. Anyways, I guess some of you didn't think that was funny. Verse 27. Said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Look what Jesus said. He said, my sheep what? My sheep what? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And somebody said, and just to clarify a few things here is this. It's because I've only been here 3.5, going on my 4th year here. So I didn't raise this house. So we are still in discovery about the structure, the order, the protocol that is in this place. And what creates unity? What creates unity is how God moves the church along. When the church is in disunity is where the church stalls out. Amen? Take a car, and if you take out, and you have a 6-cylinder, and you take out 3 of those cylinders, and they are not firing correctly, you're going to lose power. Everybody say, you'll lose power. You have to learn to function in unity. Unity is not based upon opinion. Unity is not based upon the opinion of man, your opinion, or my opinion. Unity is based upon the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is what brings unity within a house. Amen. Unity is what brings, the Spirit of God brings unity within that house. When you have the Spirit of God who is moving through the hearts and the lives of the people, you're going to have unity. You're never going to have unity and everybody agreeing on the same thing. Amen. I remember when we even tried to paint this church, there were people, well, I think we need to paint it this color. I think those are beautiful colors. I told Pastor Karen, I said, I think those are beautiful colors. But how many know somebody had to make the decision? Amen. I said somebody had to make the decision. Well, why didn't we vote? Well, what if you had 3 people and one wanted purple and the other one wanted pink and the third one wanted black? See, you're never going to because everybody here has different tastes. If you look around, some of you have different colors on. Why didn't we all wear the same colors? Why didn't we all wear the same clothes? That's what they did through the Quakers and through the Amish. Everybody wears, and they think by wearing the same clothes, you bring unity. Well, you bring a form of unity, but you don't bring real unity, because unity is not in what you wear or how you dress. It is in your heart. It is in your spirit. If we have spirit unity, then we have power within the church. If you don't have spirit unity, you don't have power in the church. Lives are not being redeemed. Lives are not being changed. People are not being healed. People are not being changed. Why? Because the spirit unity is what brings those things about. So Jesus said here, my sheep hear my voice, and they know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are what? One. So here, if you will, turn with me to the book of Ruth today. And we're talking about the voices in our life. Chapter 3. If you're there, say amen. Amen. In chapter 3, in verse 1, look with me. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? One translation reads safety. Another one reads prosperity. Another one reads a home. Said, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is Boaz of our kindred. Everybody say, that it may be well with thee. Let's read it again. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, and it may be well with thee? Everybody say, that it may be well with thee. I think it's interesting here because of the story itself. I know that many of you have read the book of Naomi. I mean, the book of Ruth. What I find interesting here is that the book of Ruth is not, even though we call it the book of Ruth, how many knows that Ruth is not always the main character here? See, I think Naomi here is really misplaced within the book itself. Many people see Ruth, and the courage of her is without question remarkable. But also, Naomi here is somebody that I want you to see. Because how many knows you can relate more to Naomi than you can to Ruth? Come on, let's be honest. Amen. Ruth never stumbles. Ruth never falls. She is something that we admire and we look and that we obtain to. But how many knows that Naomi is that person that we really relate to? Why? Well, because you need to understand the story here of what she is saying to her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And the story begins back in the very beginning of the book of Ruth, in verse 1 of chapter 1. And the word reads here, now it came to pass in the days of when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. It's interesting here because this was in the time of the judges. And in the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Judges, it reads, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. How many can see it? There was no king. There was no order. There was no rule. There was no kingdom. What it was is that the land was ruled by judges, men who judged the unrighteousness of the nation of Israel, men like Samson, men like Deborah. These were individuals that judged the nation of Israel and kept it in check. It was not God's perfect plan, but I want you to see the last statement here that God makes about it in here. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So the prevailing spirit of the land is that every man did what was right in his own eyes. That means that if I felt like I needed to, I didn't do what was best for the whole. I did what was best for me. And here in verse 1, it reads, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, everybody say Bethlehem, Judah. The word Bethlehem means here bread. Everybody say bread. Bethlehem means bread. Judah means praise. So here they left the land of what? Bread and praise. They left the land of bread and praise. Who left the land? Elimelech left the land with his wife Naomi and went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Here's an interesting thing, because Moab is an idol-worshipping country. Moab is not a place to where God was the God of that nation. Moab was a place of idol worship. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, which means, Naomi means uplifted countenance. Really, the context of the description of Naomi is that she was a bright person, a person who was what we would call today perky and positive. Amen? She was a woman who was well admired. As you read the book of Ruth, you realize that when she returned back, that she had been remembered as a woman who was a powerful woman. She was a woman of influence towards other people. She had the ability, wherever she went, to touch people's lives. She was a strong woman. She was a woman who loved God. She was a woman who served God. She was a woman who knew God. The Bible says here, if you look with me, that the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech and Naomi's husband died, and she was left and her two sons. And I want you to hear me, is that anytime you begin to leave praise, anytime you begin to leave the word, are you hearing me today? You can count on it that death, spiritual death, will begin to come to your life. That's why I say, you think, well, I can go here. There was a famine in the land. The instinctive part of Elimelech was, I'm going to leave. I'm going to do what I think is right in my own eyes. Well, why? Well, because there was no order in the land. There was no kingdom in the land. There was no structure that was there. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Now, I want you to hear today is that if you're in that kind of land, to where that it's all right to do whatever you think, I want you to know that's not the kingdom of God. There is a ruler. It's not Pastor Mark. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the ruler of this house. I am the under shepherd. I am the man that God has placed the responsibility to lead the vision here. But Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one who rules the house. Can you say amen? So here in this land, they left the place of sustenance. They left the place of bread. They left the place of praise. You know when you are beginning to make the wrong detour is to where the praise begins to leave your mouth. When you begin to leave the Word of God. When the Word and praise does not become the preeminent thing within your life. And so what becomes the preeminent thing is how you feel. You begin to seek out other things that begin to bring joy and happiness to your life. But I want you to know there is no happiness outside of the Word and outside of praise in your life. Your life, you won't feel it immediately. You won't feel it begin to come immediately to your life. Your desires begin to change. When you begin to do without sustenance in your body, you don't recognize it after the first day. You don't recognize it after the second day. Why, you can go many days without food. Are you hearing me? You can go many days, but eventually it's going to take its toll on your life. Weakness is going to begin to come. You'll begin to feel lethargic. You won't have the same drive, the same energy to do what you did before. We do have a famine in the church today. It is a famine of the Word. It is a famine of praise. It is a famine that we want to worship God. When we come to the house of the Lord, it's not about in the church today. It's more about entertainment. It's about how can we make people feel comfortable? How can we entertain them? How can we make them laugh? How can we make them feel good? Many pastors today strive to be friends with their people. I want you to know today, and this is going to be a hard saying for some of you, but God didn't call me to Wilkesboro to be your friend. God didn't call me down here to agree with your lifestyle. God called me down here to be able to preach the word. Why? Because there is a famine in the land. There is a famine here of the word and a famine of praise. What is the predominant thing that God wants to restore back to the house? It is the word and praise. Come on, somebody needs to shout right there. Amen? It is the essence by which. What is the one thing that we are always taught with? It is the word and with praise. See, I want you to know that information comes two ways in our life. Information comes by knowledge or by experience. The easy way is through knowledge. Are you hearing me? See, that's the easy way. The easy way for my children is when I want to instruct them is to give them knowledge and they do it. Amen? That's the easy way. If they hear my voice and they do what I've asked them to do it. Because why am I asking them to do it? Amen? Why do I ask my children? Why do I instruct them? Not just for my benefit, but for their benefit. If you're a true father, you're teaching your children to do certain things because you want them to be a good citizen. You want them one day to where that you are not the one who is constantly supporting them. You want them to be good citizens. You want them to be good moral people, good spiritual people. Why? Because you're teaching them and you're training them through knowledge. But how many here today realize that knowledge don't always work? How many did knowledge work just alone with you? How many people do we have sitting here that I obeyed every word of my father? I listened to everything my mother said. How many, I'm not even going to look up, how many hardheads do we have in the house today? How many of us got our information through experience? I got my glasses off so I can't see you today, whether you're frowning or smiling. How many of us did? See, I look at Elimelech as a man who had the Word of God. They had the Word of God. They knew God. They had the knowledge of God. But when things began to become tough, when the famine came, what did they do? His instinct was, I'm going to go to another place. Think about it. He didn't go to just any place. He went to Moab. He went to a godless place. He went to a natural place. He sought after, as again, that God spoke over before and again and again. See, if he would have just stayed, if he would have called upon the name of the Lord, if he would have just said, here is the word of God, I'm going to trust in it. But because he didn't, are you listening to me? Because he didn't, what happened? Death began to come to his life. Amen? See, you're hard-headed when the only way you can learn is through pain. Not his first resort. That's not God's first resort to our life. When God is speaking to us, that's why he gives us his word. That's why we have the liberty and the ability to be able to go into the word and to hear the voice of God in his written form. To be able to study it out and to look at. That's why I looked at Zach the other night and I said, Zach, do you know why we read our Bible every day? No, Mama, I don't. I said, because we want to learn the voice of God. See, let me share something with you. If the only voice that we're hearing is the tapes that we're buying, if the only voice that we're hearing is TBN or Daystar, which they're all great, I thank God that they're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, but if the only voice that we hear is the voice that we're hearing on television and tape, and we say that's the voice of God, I declare to you, we need to hear his voice. We need to purify. This is where we're hearing from, and then the other voices need to confirm what God is saying. See, if we have the Word of God, which is the basis of our heart, we won't become confused by all the other voices in the land. But if I'm doing what is right in my own sight, if I'm doing what is right in my own eyes, then I'm not following that. Amen? This is not God's first resort. It's his last. When God is trying to correct us, it's not that God is trying to bring. And how many knows that that many people cannot listen until pain comes through their life, until they begin to suffer that part, until some kind of pain comes through their life. It doesn't. How many knows pain can get your attention? Pain is not always bad. But sometimes, how many knows that until pain comes, if I'm lifting too much weight, if I'm doing too much, what begins to happen? Pain begins to come to my life. Amen. You're not helping me here this morning, but that's okay, because this is a good message. So Elimelech of Bethlehem, Judah, of that bread and praise place. When you begin to leave, a death begins to come. It's important, and I believe this today, it's important on what church you attend. I believe that it's important on what church you attend. Because if that church is not a place of the Word, it's not a place of praise. If it's a place of entertainment, if it's a place that's there. Look, I don't know what goes on in the other churches in this county. It's not my business. Are you hearing me? And I don't allow people to fill my mind. People may get a few seconds in or a couple sentences in, but I want you to know, I'm not looking to criticize any other pastor, any other church. But I know this, that the priority that's in my life should be that the thing that I look for is the Word in praise, not if they have a children's ministry. I got to mark that down. That's number two. Don't preach that here again. All right, let's move on. So here is what do I distinguish? What do I distinguish? Because if I can hear the voice of God, then I can make the right decisions, whatever. If I don't have the voice of God, how can I choose the right mate? If I don't have the voice of God, how can I choose the right job? If I don't have the voice of God, how am I going to stay out of debt? Why? Because God will lead you into all truth. The reason why any of us have got into any trouble is because we did not either have the voice of God in our life or we ignored the voice of God in our life. Somebody shout amen. See, they left, and when they had everything, when they left to go to Moab, they were on the top. When they came back, only Naomi and Ruth were the only one. When Naomi came back, she was at the bottom. Do you understand? When they left, they had everything. They still had the Word. They still had praise. But when they left to go to Moab and she had to return, she left on the bottom instead of the top. Oprah left halfway. Amen. If you'll read the story there as they return. At first, Oprah, amen, I'm not talking about the talk show host. I'm talking about Naomi's other daughter-in-law. And so, as they return, Oprah wanted to stay with Ruth. Wanted to stay with Naomi. But the point of it is that when she was challenged and Naomi began to resist her, are you hearing me? What began to happen? Oprah decided. She kissed her and she left. But Ruth was of another nature. See, I kind of believe this, that as Ruth was in that house, that even though that she was a Moabite, there was something on the inside of Ruth. Do you hear me? Even though that she was an unbeliever, even though that she was in a land that was an idol worship, I believe hanging around her word-filled mother-in-law, hanging around her, I believe that there was a seed that began to happen in her life. She saw something in Naomi that she had never saw before. See, honey, you can be in the land of darkness, but if the seed of God, if the salt and the light of God was within you, even though it may be dim, it's more than anyone else has that's in the land. Are you hearing me? See, God can even use us in our bitterness. Amen. I said, God can even use you in your bitterness. Because if the Word of God is there, that's the thing that you're going to speak out even in your bitterness. See, it's interesting here because it's interesting that in my time of Mara, which is bitterness, is when Steve came into my life. Steve didn't come into my life when I was on the top. I had traveled to the land of Moab. I had traveled to the land of the unbelievers. I had traveled to a place because I was trying to escape the Word of God because there was a famine in my land. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? There was a famine in my land and I had nothing in it. And I thought that what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the business world. I'm going to go get money. I'm going to get the things that I've always gotten. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? But in my way, I left the word and I left praise. And when I began to leave the word and praise, even though I didn't realize it, I began to die and bitterness overtook me and I began to lose the things that was most precious in my life. It wasn't until the death of my son that I was awakened to the knowledge that I was in the land of the weary and the idol worshipers. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So look with me here again. Too much wind. There's always, and I want you to look here with me as you look. So here, Naomi is here with her. She tells her in verse 8, and Naomi said unto her, 2 daughters, go, return each kindly. But Orpah left, but Ruth stayed. And in verse 13, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? She tells them, are you expecting me to have children again? And then they become husbands. And then once they become husbands, you can marry them again. She said, that's never going to happen. It's unrealistic. And she grieved for them. And the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She tells her daughter-in-law, she tells them, man, don't follow me. My life is empty. I have nothing to offer you. Are you hearing me? And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her and said, adios, I'm going. This looks like too tough of a journey for me. But Ruth cleaved unto her mother-in-law. Why? Because she saw something that Orpah didn't. Both of them were in the same house. Both of them heard the same thing. But she looked at the devastation as if she did not want to make the journey. I want you to hear me today is this. That when God is taking you back, when God is taking you back to Bethlehem, when God is restoring your life again, when God is trying to take you back to the place that you lost, realize this, that not everyone's going to be able to go on the journey all the way with you. There are some who are going to say, I can't go with you. I can't make the journey with you. But don't become discouraged. Don't become despondent because you see people leaving your life. You need to realize maybe God is cleaning out some people who cannot see what God is trying to do in your life. They can't see who you are in God. They can't see the calling. They can't see your future like God does. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? We want to cling to those who can't go on and realize that when you begin to cling to those who can't go on with you, be careful because they can pull you back into Moab. They can pull you back into the place of compromise. Are you hearing me? But here we see, as God begins to do something in Naomi and Ruth, God takes the situation. He brings it down to where it's only the two of them. All right, look with me here. I'm going to either have to sit down or shut up, one or the other. I keep having to turn back to my books. So look what he says here. He says in verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return, or following after me. We use this as we are giving marriage vows, but it was a vow covenant that Ruth made to her mother-in-law. Listen to this woman. I mean, this is an idol worshiper. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? This is a woman of idol worship. This is a woman who up to this point, basically all her life, all she's known. But do you understand there was something that was deeply dissatisfied on the inside of her? Even in Naomi's bitterness, Ruth sees something in her that she won't leave her. See, this is something that God placed in Ruth. Listen to the covenant that she makes with her. She says, for whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Now look at here. Thy people will be my people. But look what she says here. She says, and your God will become my God. How many knows that things begin to change at this point? I said things begin to change at this point. Even though that naturally nothing is going on.
How many knows that all it takes is a life of repentance? It takes a life that will declare, you know what, God, I don't see anything here. I don't see anything redeemable. But you know what I know? I know that you're my God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? I want you to know that somebody is watching your life. You may think your life is of no value. You may think in where you're at that your life has come to naught. But I'm here to tell you something today is that somebody is watching your life. Why? Because the seed and the salt and the light of God is on the inside of you. I said the salt and the light of God are in the inside of you. The enemy has told you that you have nothing to give, that your value is nothing, that your testimony is God. But I'm here to tell you today that there's salt and light within your life and that you have something to give to somebody. Somebody is watching you. Somebody's in need. Somebody needs what's inside of you. The problem is that what's happened is that we've given ourselves to everything else. We have went in our own sight and our own ways, our own mind. What has brought about the demise of the church? It's people doing what was right in their own eyes. Let me tell you something. How many can have a home where you let the children rule the home? Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? Man, as cute as Grayson is, and nobody loves him more than his grandpa does. I love that little boy. But let me tell you, there's going to come a time. Oh, Pastor, there's going to come a time. It won't be by his mama first, I can tell you that. Amen? It'll have to come by his daddy, but there's going to come a time. Because as cute and as adorable and as God called as that little boy is, there's still a will on the inside of him. And he's going to want to do what he wants to do. Oh, yeah. Oh, none of you want. Oh, no, not him. He's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. See, I know. See, I'm a realist about what we have to be. Because I want you to know something. There is all children are beautiful and all children are glorious. Amen. Are you hearing me? That little baby back there, as beautiful as she is, as sweet as she is, there's going to come a time to where mama's want to go to left and she's going to want to go right. And mama's going to want to go left and she's going to want to go right. And mama's going to say, you can't go right, I'm going left. And she's going to say, I want to go right and I don't care what you say. And she's going to take off right and mama's going to have to do something she don't want to do. Oh, it's getting holy hush in here tonight. Oh, Pastor. I'll reason with them, yeah. I want to know, where is the revelation of reason with the two-year-old? How do you reason with a baby? You can't reason with a baby because a baby and a child is ruled by their emotions. They're not ruled by logic. That's why that we get into the problems, because that's why Paul said, he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, if you want God to begin to move in your life, you got to begin to make some mature. I'm not talking about men as far as physical men. I'm talking about the general men and women. I'm talking about people that if you want to be mature, you've got to begin to put away some childish things. It was all good in its day. Are you hearing me? It was good in its day, but we live in a day to where we need to be awakened. It was great when I was an unbeliever. I did everything that was right in my own eyes. And I never realized till years later that same nature, Kathy, that was in me, even though I was born again and my spirit was born again, I came to a revelation understanding that my mind was not saved. And that unrenewed mind wanted to do what it wanted to do, and I didn't care what anybody else wanted to do. I wanted to do it. I can't tell you the times where I said, I'll never forget, and I've told you the story before, when we were in a massive change in our life, and Karen looked at me, and she said to me, have you prayed about it? And I looked at her, and I said, no. And she said, why haven't you? I said, because I know what God's going to say. That's awful. But you see, That's how you can get, even though you have knowledge in your life. And we think that we can, but I want you to know that the path that leads, that doing that which is in our own eyes, is not going to happen. When we eliminate God from the equation, when we eliminate His Word, we eliminate His ability. What is praise? Praise is the ability to be thankful unto God. Honey, praise is not just what we do here from 10:15 to 10:40. Praise is something that you do every day in your life, that you're giving God the grateful, thankful spirit that you have, saying, God, I know I wouldn't have my life if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't have my money if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't have my children, my home, my cars, my life if it wasn't for you. Honey, you don't have to come here to church to praise Him. You can praise Him in your attitude every day, in your conversations with everybody. Amen? Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So the two went unto and came to Bethlehem, the place of bread. Look what it says. As she came into the city, her old friends, the people of Bethlehem, looked, and they said what to her? Is this Naomi? Are you hearing me? See, those who remembered her remembered what? They remembered the uplifting spirit. They remembered the powerful woman of God. They remembered how glorious a testimony, what a wonderful testimony her family was. And look what she says to them. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me not that woman of praise. Because that's really the literal translation here. Don't call me the woman of praise anymore. Listen to this. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Are you hearing me? You know, I read this, and I thought, you know what? This is like so many people. That when we don't want to be a testimony. Amen? See, we have a way of telling people, hey, don't place the responsibility on me no more. I'm not there like I used to be. And we'll do things so people won't follow us. But I want you to know that when the purpose and the destiny of God is in you, honey, you can be sitting on a bar stool in the darkest bar of Wilkes County. You can be cracked out of your mind, coked out of your mind, drunk out of your mind, heroin addicted out of your mind. But I want you to know that if the soul and the light of God is on the inside of you, honey, it's going to come out. Somebody's going to see that light. God hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. You know, because you have found Him and He lives and abides within you. And He'll send somebody along to say, is that not Naomi? She left full and she returned empty. See, sometimes for you to be able to hear the voice of God, God allows brokenness to be able to come to your life. Come on. I've got to go. I only got 4 minutes. And if I don't quit on time, Pastor Karen won't talk to me the rest of the day. She said, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. How many knows? When God is trying to chastise us, how many knows we're mad at God? We ain't no different than our children. How many of your children have you punished and they ran to their bedroom, falling on their bed? I hate you. Markel, when he was small, he used to have a little teddy bear that had bib overhauls. And when he died, we still have it. And the face of that teddy bear is all hard. It's bib overhauls, and the front of it is where he cried his tears. On that, and it's hard, where he would grab that teddy bear and he'd run into his room and fall on it, and he would scream. He knew not to scream out loud, but he'd scream into that teddy bear when I used to have to correct him. And he'd say, I hate you guys. Did he really hate us? No. He hated the punishment. He hated having to deal and to face the thing that was wrong in his life. You know why we can't deal with the wrong things in our life? It's because we don't want to be corrected. That's why we go to the churches we go to, because if we go to there, they're not going to correct us. They're going to tell us all the good things in our life. And God wants you to know the good things. And when you're here at Cornerstone, we tell you about your destiny. We tell you about it. But if you're looking for a church where you can grow, if you're looking for a place to where you can be a disciple of Christ, then Cornerstone's that place. Because if you can't be corrected, then you can't be discipled. And if you can't be discipled, you're never going to walk out your life for Christ. Are you hearing the word today? Amen? Amen. Somebody said to me, said, be careful, because if you preach messages like this, it'll make your church smaller. And I declare it's not going to make this church smaller. It's going to make this church greater and larger. It's interesting to me that in all this, in chapter 3, that in all of her bitterness, that Naomi was interested in Ruth's future. I'm gonna close right here, because I got a lot more I want to say. When God puts a voice in your life, turn to somebody and say, that life is not always perfect. See, what we want, and I believe with all my heart, that as men and women of God, that we need to live a life that is exemplary. I believe that with my whole heart. But I want you to understand, too, is this. That I've realized that the people that God puts in my life, they don't put them there because they're perfect. But because that's the voice that God wants to put in my life. Are you hearing me? It's interesting here that even in Naomi's bitterness, she was more interested in Ruth's future than she was in her own future. We don't want to be a part. If I want somebody and I want a voice in my life, I don't want a voice in my life that is only interested in themselves and their future. I want the voice that's going to be interested in my future, because I need somebody to speak to my future, to my life. Jesus became that great example to us. How, Pastor? Because instead, in the garden where he stood, he prayed the prayer, Father, if it's possible, let it pass from me. Because I know what's awaiting me. I know what is there. Even though I know that it's a 3-day journey, I know and I trust your promise that on the third day I'm going to arise from the grave, but I know the torment, the pain that is awaiting me. But the Bible says that Jesus looked past it, despising the shame, despising the pain, and he looked to your future. Are you hearing me? If you're going to have a voice in your life, make sure that voice is somebody who is willing to say, your future is more important than my present. See, that's the nature of a parent. A nature of a parent, it's not about their comfort. It's about the future of their children and their grandchildren. See, a real father is not about preservation of himself. It's about how can I pour myself into my children and my grandchildren. That's what parents do. That's what a pastor does. That's what the voices in our life need to be. They need to be somebody who's going to speak into our future. If I don't have somebody speaking into my future and all they can ever see is my present, then I'll never grow. Amen? Because my present sometimes is pretty messed up. Sometimes I'm pretty messed up. And if all I see is somebody coming and saying, hey, you're messed up. Yeah, well, I already know that. Thank you. Amen? If somebody's always coming and saying, hey, you're drunk. Yeah, well, I already know that. Could you pass the bottle, please? You're this, you're that. They're always speaking to my present, but never speaking to my future. chapter 3 here. We'll come back to it in detail. But Naomi says to Ruth, look, you have favor with Boaz. I see it. He's been watching you. He's favored you. See, she was smart enough. Are you hearing me? She was smart enough to see this. Instead of saying to her, hey, see what you can get and bring more back to us, she didn't. She said, look, here's what I want you to do. To do what she asked her to do was literally something that was terrifying because she was risking her reputation. She was risking Ruth's reputation to destroy it. But you see, Naomi saw something in her and saw her future even when Ruth didn't see her own future. And if Ruth hadn't heard her mother-in-law and heard her voice, she'd still be walking behind the gleaners today. Instead of becoming the instrument, think about it, the instrument that God used to bring about the Messiah. Oh, you're not hearing me today. Are you hearing me? See, the whole idea of what the Jews believe is totally messed up because God didn't keep. See, when it was God's plan and God's purpose, He used a Moabitess. Are you hearing me? He redeemed her. She repented. She came in and made God her God. He pulled her out of the land of idol worship. Brought her in. Brought a redeemer kinsman to her life. Saved her out. Amen. And they had a child named Jesse, who Jesse bore forth a son named David, who was the lineage of Jesus. Are you hearing me today? Yes. And you look at your life and you say, I'm just a Ruth. No, you're not. No, you're not. But unless you have a Naomi speaking into your life, unless you have the right voices speaking into your life. See, sometimes we're too smart for our own good. Come on now. Sometimes we're too smart for our own good. Sometimes we have all the knowledge in the world and we have all the experience we think. But I want you to know something. No man, no woman is able to succeed on their own. See, the fool resists the wise. See, you can be educated. You can be successful and still be a fool. Because you can't listen to no one else but your own voice. See, many men can't succeed in their marriage because they can't listen to their own wives. Lord. The hardest trial of my life was not everything that I faced. The hardest trial of my life was the learning to be able to listen to my wife. I ain't getting no amens up in here now. Oh, you guys missed a perfect opportunity. You sat there like Adam, being silent. Amen. Yeah, baby, I'll eat the fruit. Hello. Okay, let's lose everything now. That was good. Get out! Are you hearing me? See, you can be a fool not because of what you don't have, but you can be a fool because you think you have everything you need. But the wise man has the counsel of God and receives it. And the Bible says in Proverbs that it covers him. See, the prudent man receives the counsel. And by receiving the counsel, what he does, it preserves him and keeps him. Still ain't getting no help up in here. Doesn't change the truth. See, God puts in your life not what you want, but what you need. And what you need sometimes doesn't come but in the form of a bitter old woman who's lost everything. But see, God not only restored Ruth and gave her a redeemer kinsman, but he gave to Naomi a grandson. And she nurtured that baby, and that baby brought healing and restoration back to her. Whew. Somebody heard that. I said, somebody heard that. Somebody heard that. See, we want to be all God wants us to be. But if you want, see, and it's a dangerous message because we see a lot of preachers are afraid to preach it because, well, Pastor, we don't want to bring, you know, idol worship to the church. You don't have to worry about making me an idol. I promise you. You won't have to worry about it. You just got to pray that she's alive as long as I'm preaching. Because when I get out of line, believe me, she doesn't have any fear telling me, you ain't all that, big boy. You're all mine. I love you. And sometimes you're all that and a bag of chips. But when I get over to that place, God knows how to keep me in that place. But I want you to understand something. God sends the voices in your life so that He can raise you and point you to the destiny that's yours. Stand with me today.